866-7227 or go online to kwmr.org/support. It's 11 o'clock. It's time to record our epicenter for today. And I hope that you will all stay with me right here on KWMR, Point Reyes Station. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursdays at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today is Monday. I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and my guest today will be Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer from the County of Marin, and Dr. Lisa Santora. Hello, Lainey Hendricks.
Well, hello there, Amanda Eichstead, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well, and we have just launched on our pledge drive this morning at 8 o'clock, and we'll be going until, I think, 8 p.m. or 10 p.m. on the 28th.
Woo!
2 weeks.
Let's do this. Let's do this.
That's right. I've got a phone in here, and I had an email from somebody who said, you can't possibly have the phone in your hand and take calls. I beg to differ. Well, we have a new phone, a little handset that we can carry around the station since we're not flooded with people who can just pick up the phone at any time. We're socially distancing. We're wearing our masks, and we are, you got it, washing our hands.
Oh, that still warms my heart.
I knew you would appreciate that. So if you appreciate these Monday epicenters and you're listening today at 11 or to maybe today at 5 o'clock, go on over to kwmr.org and make that contribution to this radio station, because I know people have so appreciated your presence on the KWMR airwaves, Lainey, and your links and the roundup and Dr. Lisa and Matt Willis's contributions to this program, as well as the other PIOs like Brenton Schneider. So we very much appreciate our partnership with the county.
Well, and that goes both ways. KWMR has been a tremendous partner for how long have you all been on the airwaves now? 23 years?
Coming up on 22 years, May 2nd, we will have been on the air. But it's interesting because one of our pledge premiums is 11 tracks from our very first Sweethearts of the Radio concert with wonderful musicians. And it's all was recorded live back in 1998.
That is a cool premium right there. If people aren't scrambling to go make a donation, then I don't know. They are clueless. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice little set of music, and it's Eric and Susie Thompson, Jody Stecker and Kate Brislin, and Lori Lewis and Tom Rosum. 11 tracks. We're going to make this available to you. We'll be reaching out to folks who pledge if you want the physical CD. Paul will have those manufactured if you want the downloads because you handle your music digitally. We got you covered.
That's pretty cool.
It was a really neat idea, but I have to tell you, I don't think it would happen if we weren't in a pandemic and working musicians like Paul Knight were on the road to the extent that they were. So we really appreciate Paul in his downtime taking the time to go through these old files and put this project together. It's a silver lining on a tough year. This has been a full year that we've been doing this. We didn't have a spring pledge drive last year because we just didn't know how to pull it off. We weren't in a position yet to figure that out. But this year, not only are we having a spring pledge drive, Lainey, but some of our programmers have been fully vaccinated and have waited 2 weeks and will be here when no one else is here to do their programs. And they will be live in the studio starting for the very first time in over a year tomorrow night.
Oh, that's exciting. And like you said, it shows how far we've come in the past year when we were at this time last year, you know, batten down the hatches. You know, we were literally preparing to shelter in place. Matter of fact, I think it may have been a year ago today that the announcement was made that six county a group within the Bay Area was going to issue this novel shelter in place order, the first in the country. Now we're talking about a year later, vaccines are out and starting to circulate, and people are now able to return to the studio, which is such a exciting milestone, I think, and it's showing that we are starting to turn that corner. It's going to be a while longer, obviously, but you know, that is a that's such an exciting milestone for your station.
I know. I remember last year at this time, we were thinking, yeah, wow, we read these underwriters live pretty much. We record some of them. We recorded all of them in a day just to make sure we got them in there. And I finally got them to take all my frantic sounding ones. I mean, you're sitting in there, you know you're going home. We're all here. We don't know what the future holds. And we're recording all of these underwriters. We've redone them because they just sounded so desperate. We sounded so weird. Well, so what's going on right now, Lainey Hendricks? Is there any change to the tiers? How are we doing with vaccinations in Marin County? And any other news about testing or things that we should be telling our community members?
Yeah, I got a few updates for you. You mentioned the tiers, so we'll start there. So as we look at the blueprint for a safer economy, which is the state system for carefully reopening each county based on COVID-19 case rates and other factors, Marin County is still in that second tier, the red tier, but our data is looking really good. So if we maintain this progress, we could be in the orange tier, that third tier, less restrictive tier, as early as Tuesday of, well, it would be effective Wednesday of next week. So going into
the 24th.
The 24th, okay. Right. And that would mean a number of additional reopenings, if you will. So you'll see indoor capacity at restaurants expand 50%. You'll see indoor retail and grocery basically back to regular capacity, which this will be the first time in a while we've experienced anything like that. And you'll start to see other things come online. So indoor family recreation centers, which there are a couple in Marin County, like your I'm at a loss right now, but, you know, there's a few. And so we are slowly but surely, you know, creeping back indoor. More businesses are coming online. Regular offices, which to date have been really advised to keep working virtually as much as possible, they can actually resume in-person operations as well. So I think we're going to feel the pendulum swing as we look at reopening, which is exciting. Outside of just that normal shift from red to orange, the state also announced last week two additional changes to that blueprint framework. One, they went ahead and loosened the restrictions on a few business sectors, mainly breweries, wineries, distilleries, and bars. Not that I want to promote drinking too heavily, but I know that we do have a craft brew scene in Marin County. Obviously, we are the home to some very popular brands that have grown up out of Marin County, so there are definitely some beer lovers in our county. And the state had previously some pretty restrictive guidelines in terms of they had been, unless they had partnered with a restaurant to serve food or they already had an in-house food offering, they were forced to remain closed pretty much this whole time. So the state has backed off of that. And as of Saturday, all of those establishments are now allowed to reopen in some form. Which is exciting for our craft brew industry, especially those beer connoisseurs that want to support those types of businesses in Marin County. The other change that the state announced was actually a loosening, if you will, of the metrics that are tied to that framework. And what I mean by that is in order for a county to move from purple to red previously, they would have had to have a case rate below, an adjusted case rate of below 7. They, because the state of California has passed a vaccine milestone, meaning they have helped administer 2 million vaccines in some of the hardest hit communities across California. And this is a number of census tracts that were identified largely in the Central Valley and Southern California, where the COVID-19 incident rate was extremely high. Because they were able to administer 2 million vaccines in those various areas, they went ahead and loosened that metric up to 10. So it allowed some of those counties that, you know, had been in purple for a long time and still hovering close to the metric but never had quite gotten into red. They now were able to enter red because of that loosening. And there's another milestone that will be coming along, and that's once we reach that 4 million vaccination mark in those communities, they will loosen the metric again and make it a little bit easier to progress into orange as well. So I think it's a sign that the state is taking into account the impact that vaccinations can have as an additional tool in our COVID mitigation toolbox, and that we can kind of change our approach to reopening as more vaccine supply arrives on scene. So that's kind of my blueprint tier update, and it does transition nicely into where we are with vaccines, if you want me to roll on in.
Yeah. Keep it on. Right. Keep it on going.
I'm just going to tell all the listeners, I'm going to keep talking in hopes that you keep Amanda very busy on that that phone that she referenced, because we need pledges to come in today, tomorrow, and the next day to keep KWMR broadcasting well into the future. So
that's
I'm
right.
Gonna give you,
I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them to go online, because if they're listening at 5, there won't be anybody here.
Oh,
so,
that's right.
But
what do they do?
They
Tell
go to where to go. Just go to kwmr.org and make a contribution to the radio station. And the premiums are there. There's an AM/FM battery powered radio that is not a hand crank radio that you can just turn on as long as your batteries are good. So you have to stay on top of that. But it'll save you a little cranking time if you have a hand crank as well. We've got the CD of the Sweethearts music, and we've got a really nice canvas tote bag available for a gift of $30, a gift for your pledge of $30. The CD is $50 or digital download, and the radio is for a pledge of $100. And those
there
are all
go.
Available at kwmr.org.
All right. So everybody get those keyboards out, start clicking, get those mobile phones out, start clicking, kwmr.org. And with that, here is your vaccine update for this week. So this week we opened up the availability of vaccines to a broader group of people here in Marin County. Starting today, March 15th, the state of California has flagged that individuals that have a severe health condition or physical disability are now eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine. And that, and in addition to public transit drivers and a couple of other groups. And with that addition, that now means about 160,000 Marin County residents are now eligible to receive a vaccine. So that's over half of our residents, which is exciting because that means we could start getting more of that vaccine into the arms of those that are eligible and continue to combat COVID-19 here locally. So I mentioned, you know, those that have a severe health condition or disability, specifically the conditions that the state has signaled would be eligible for vaccine include cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic pulmonary disease, Down syndrome, those that have had a solid organ transplant or maybe pregnant, those with sickle cell disease, those that have heart conditions, those that may have severe obesity, or those that have type 2 diabetes. But we also are taking into account those that may have other severe disabilities or illness, because that can make them more likely to develop a severe, COVID-19 infection or something like that. So we have recently updated on our COVID-19 vaccine webpage, and you can get there quite quickly by just typing in getvaccinatedmarin.org. If you click on our distribution framework, if you have been a frequent visitor to our page, you will note that this page looks completely different now. And that's because we've done our best effort to try to capture all of the detail that the state has recently released about who may be eligible to receive a vaccine, not just the high-level groups in terms of education and childcare, food and agriculture, emergency services, things like that that we have talked about before on air. But what does that really mean? Is it just teachers, or is it others who work in education? What does emergency services mean? And you'll see that the state has provided us a very, very detailed list. So we encourage everybody to surf on over and review that list, because you may find that there's a portion of your occupation that supports one of these industries and therefore would make you eligible to be vaccinated as well.
That is awesome. I know that there are people who have just been waiting for this. So do you know when the next age tier might go into effect? I know people are very interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. At this point, we don't have a target launch date. You know, having opened up this new group of eligibility, you know, we've added about 60,000 people to the mix to be vaccinated. And we're still seeing, you know, some ebbs and flows in our vaccine supply. So, for instance, this week, the vaccine allocation that we have to work with was actually smaller than last week. So while we have been seeing steady increases, definitely over the last month, month and a half, we're still kind of at the mercy of how this vaccine allocation is taking place. So it will take us several weeks to be able to offer appointments to all who may be eligible in this new group. So, but following the state of California and how things have been kind of moving along, and also hearing encouraging language, if you will, coming out from the federal side about opening up eligibility to a much broader group, basically everybody, by the beginning of May, I would suspect that we'll be hearing news about future age groups, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks. So
right.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
That's what
stay
I was
tuned.
Thinking as well.
And I really encourage people, if they can, if they have the time and the ability to review that eligibility webpage, you know, it's pretty broad. So I think a lot of people, again, we're well over half of our county now is eligible. I think a lot of people will find that they may be eligible because of an occupational connection or otherwise, where before maybe they didn't realize that. But yes, we are moving really quickly, and it's really encouraging to see not only that vaccine is rolling out, you know, a little bit more every week, but then again, we're hearing the encouraging words from the federal side that they hope to keep amplifying supply. Of course, it, you know, I always like to couch it with the what you're hearing at the federal level doesn't always match the local experience to a T, in terms of we may hear on national news, you know, several, you know, millions and millions of vaccines rolling out. And at the end of the day, Marin County may only receive a few thousand of those each week. But it, you know, the more vaccine supply we can get out into the region as a whole is going to benefit everyone.
Right. And I believe we're being joined by Dr. Lisa Santora. Lisa, welcome to the KWMR airwaves.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Eleni, I'll let you go and we'll get you back on next week with more updates. Thank you so much for all your kind words and for all your wonderful information.
You got it. And best of luck with the pledge drive. Pledge, everybody.
Thanks, Lainey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, it looks like things are going pretty well. I wanted to ask you, about this article I saw in the Marin Independent Journal today about the fact that there's this state plan and the Blue Cross, I believe, or Blue Shield, I can't remember which one it was, but there's like the counties are sort of doing their own thing, and I'm curious if you can give us a little bit of a lowdown on that.
So we met with Blue Shield last week and had a very productive conversation with them and shared our successes and felt that we were heard by Blue Shield and have a very much a shared vision of optimizing vaccine distribution across the state and, of course, continuing that effort across the county. So we're still waiting to hear back from Blue Shield around the adjustments that they plan to be making in our allocation and our plans. But we are on target. We are now, Lainey might have mentioned, we've now vaccinated at least one dose, more than 30% of our population. So I think Marin County, as it leads the state in vaccination rates, is looking forward to continuing that partnership with Blue Shield. And what people may not already know is that Blue Shield is now the responsible agent, has been the responsible agency for more than a month in vaccine allocation. So for the past month, it's been Blue Shield that's been making the allocation decisions on how much vaccine the county receives on a weekly basis. So we've already been partnering with them and just looking forward to seeing if and how it will change in the weeks to come.
And it is a monumental task to keep track of all of these two-dose vaccines. I'm wondering if you could sort of give us a little behind-the-scenes look at how that was set up so quickly to manage just this immense amount of data and tracking.
So we have had a system called the CARE system. It's our immunization registry. We've used it predominantly for children as we manage and make sure all children are vaccinated according to the state laws for school immunization requirements. And so when we pivoted to COVID vaccination, the state is using the CARE system, which is great. But what we're finding, and we're going to be updating our website probably this week, is that there's a lag. Just like there's a lag in testing results, we're now seeing a seven-day lag in reporting vaccination results. And one clear example was on a day we had done more than 1,000 doses. When we went back and looked at the CARE system, there was only one dose added for Marin County.
Oh, so, yeah, that stands out.
So we think by adding, and I probably listeners know this with all of our results, but we always say there's a seven-day lag period, which allows for reporting. And we think by adding that seven-day lag, we'll have a more accurate presentation of that data to the state. And so I think the biggest challenge, again, is the state isn't, we're not a unified system. So there's multiple data systems that are in play across the state for collecting information around who's being vaccinated. So locally, we're depending on that immunization registry that really has probably the most robust information. Because the other complexity is that Marin County residents can get vaccinated outside of the county. So we can't just rely on our own county data systems. We have to rely on a more unified system for knowing who's getting vaccinated to report back on those rates.
Right. Wow, that is complicated. Well, I commend the system for working as well as it has, because I just know how much data that there is. Is the Johnson & Johnson vaccination being used in Marin County?
Yes, it is. We have prioritized that for our mobile teams. This week, we're going out to West Marin, and we will be with our partner Curative, and we're working on providing vaccination to our agricultural workers. And if you can imagine, a one-dose vaccination in the mobile space is very optimal, because then we don't have to get people to come back again for that second dose. And I know there were some concerns early on because it was a new vaccine, but we're only hearing positive news around low side effects with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It's a one-and-done vaccine, and then we don't have to add that complexity to make sure people get back for that second dose vaccination. So at our meeting today, we have all systems to go to try and pull down even more of the Johnson & Johnson vaccination, because it's just a simpler operation when you only have to provide one dose of a vaccine.
For sure. Can you talk to, I mean, we've talked about variants before and we hear about it in the news. And I'm curious, I know that the advice for people who have had their first shot, if they're on a two-shot vaccination plan, or are around people who haven't been vaccinated when some people have been, that the guidelines is to continue doing what we're doing, social distancing, wearing a mask, and washing our hands, following all of those protocols. How worried are people about these variants in the face of all of these people getting vaccinated, Dr. Lisa Santora?
I know people are concerned, and I think it's really driven by social media and media coverage. Our primary concern is just ensuring optimal mass vaccination operations so we can vaccinate as quickly and safely as we can, so we decrease the variant, the possibility that more variants emerge. And it does appear at this time that the variants that have emerged are responsive to the vaccinations, and the vaccine technology will allow for adaptations in future vaccinations if a variant does become less responsive to vaccination.
And really, the vaccinations didn't just sort of pop out of nowhere. This is sort of work that's always going on around this type of these viruses, and these folks are trying to get out ahead of it. So that was one of the reasons why the turnaround was so quick.
Yes. So, these vaccines and this technology has been under development for over two decades. Those are those mRNA technologies. And then we have Johnson & Johnson, which is using an adenovirus, a known DNA, this is the more traditional vaccine method that has had more use internationally. So And again, so we're just really fortunate to be a year past the passing a year anniversary and to have a vaccine against a virus in such a short time frame. The word I was using last week was pretty miraculous.
Right. Any last things to add this morning before I let you go? And I want to take a special moment to thank you for all of the time you've put into participating with KWMR. I know you have a lot on your plate. You go to lots of meetings. Like, your name pops up every time I'm at any of my lots of meetings. So I'm curious if you have any last bits of advice for the folks here who are listening to KWMR.
Just to really stay vigilant and to continuing to follow our guidance. The guidance is in place because we really want to continue to mitigate the possibility of COVID-19 transmission. The emails I've been going through has all of the opening up that is happening. And our state is opening up, which is good for the economy. But just to really heed the guidance that we have, continue to be cautious and washing hands and wearing face coverings because we don't want to let our guard down out of our spring fever that is upon us, mm-hmm. and then have our third wave. I do anticipate we are moving forward where we anticipate to be in orange probably before the end of this month, maybe even as early as next week, which is great news. But that means we're going to be engaging more activities with more people. We don't know individuals' vaccine status. And so really just assume people are unvaccinated and continue to follow all of the mitigation strategies and protective measures that have been in place so we can really get to a much more open and safe summer.
Well, I appreciate you bringing us this good, solid information here in West Marin and look forward to continuing these conversations. Hopefully we will be giving more and more better news as we go along. It sounds like we're headed in that direction, and we have to all do our part to make that a reality. Thank you, Lisa.
Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening. Amanda Eichstead, and I am engineering until 1 p.m. today. And coming up next will be The Bioneers, and that will be on KWMR, Point Reyes Station. We are in our spring pledge drive, and we are going to play you a little bit of a tune from a CD that is available to folks who pledge for their $50 amount. It's a CD that contains music from the Sweethearts of the Radio concert from 1998, the very, very first Sweethearts of the Radio concert that was ever produced here at KWMR, well before my time. But Paul Knight has been involved with the radio station the whole time, and he is the person who put these 11 tracks together. We're going to listen to a little something from that CD right now.